Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin, daf Mem Tes. We left off Mem Ches Amud Beis right at the Gemara, so we fell way short of the end of the daf. Hopefully, we'll take advantage of the 45-minute slot today on the holiday, and we will make up, so we'll cover some lost ground. So today's shiur, first of all, sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LaHashalom, and we thank Dr. Lander for his continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi shiur. So yesterday we began the fifth parak of the Masechta. The fifth parak talks about the types of property who various people who are owed money get paid from. So for example, if somebody is damaged by somebody else, so the person who's damaged is called the Nizak, so the Nizak gets paid, he has to be paid by the Mazak, he has to get paid by the person who causes the damage, and the Mishnah told us that the Nizak gets paid with Edis, which is the best level of property. A Balchov, who's a regular creditor, let's say a lender, gets paid with Beninus, and a Ksuvas Isha, a woman who's collecting your Ksuva, she gets paid from the lowest level property. That is called Ziboris. Why is this Mishnah here? We saw Tosfos yesterday because the levels of property that these various creditors get paid from are all instituted because of Tikkun HaOlam. There was a Tikkun HaOlam reason why somebody who's damaged gets paid with the Edis and a regular Balchov gets paid with the Beninus and the Ksuvas Isha is collected with Ziburis. And then the Mishnah followed through with a couple more halachas, which we're not going to get to today. But today we're going to focus on the concept of who gets paid with what level of property and how exactly we calculate that level of property. So for example, the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to work through, first of all, is it really because of Tikkun HaOlam that the Nizak gets paid with Edis? It seems to be a Din D'oraisa, and we're going to work through whose Edis are we talking about. Let's say Reuven damages Shimon, and Shimon has three levels of property, and Shimon has, he's not as wealthy as Reuven. So the one who's damaged has a level of property which is his Edis, which is, however, the Ziburis of Reuven. It's the Ziburis of the Mazik, because the Mazik is a much wealthier person than the Nizak. So when the Mishnah tells us that the Nizak gets paid with Edis, that he gets paid with the highest level property, whose highest level property are we talking about? Are we talking about his own highest level property, or are we talking about the highest level property of the Mazik, of the person who actually damages the Nizak? And we're going to go back and forth, talk about these types of things in the Gemara today. So again, let's pick up with the Gemara on Mem Ches Amud Beis in the middle of the Amud. So says the Gemara, again, this is going on the halacha of the Nizik, is the Nizakin Shaman Lembe Edis, that when somebody is damaged by somebody else, the Nizak gets paid with the best level of property. So says the Gemara, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, is that really a din of Tikkun HaOlam? I thought Tosfos told me, and in fact the Mishnah told me at the end of the Mishnah, that all of these halachos in the Mishnah are because of Tikkun HaOlam. But says the Gemara, D'oraisa hi. This appears to be a din D'oraisa. Tichsiv, Meitav Sadeyu, Umeitav Karmo Yishalem. That if one person damages another, then Meitav Sadeyu, he has to pay with the best of his field or with the best of his vineyard. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaya Lo Tzricha El Rabbi Yishmol. You're right, there is a Din D'oraisa, because the Torah definitely does say that if one damages another, if Reuven damages Shimon, then the damaging party has to pay with the best level of assets, with the highest level of assets. The question is, we need this Tikkun HaOlam for the din of Rabbi Yishmael. What's the din of Rabbi Yishmael? The Amar, because Rabbi Yishmael says, Midaraisa b'dinizak shaminan. Midaraisa, we value everything according to the level of the Nizak. In other words, if this is the hypothetical that we just posited, if Reuven damages Shimon, and Shimon has three levels of property. He has Edis, Beninus, and Ziboris. But Shimon is not such a wealthy guy. So Shimon's best level of property is, let's say, corresponds to the lowest level of property that's owned by the damaging party, that's owed by Reuven. So Midaraisa, all it says is Meitav Sadeyu. So if Reuven damages Shimon, so Reuven caused Shimon damage, so he has to pay from the best of the property. Whose property? Midaraisa means from the best of Shimon's property. So if the damaging party has much better properties, he doesn't have to pay from his best properties. He just has to pay from the property level, from the best property level of the damaged party. That's Midaraisa. However, says the Gemara, Kamash Malam Mnei Tikkun HaOlam Shaminan B'damazik. Because of Tikkun HaOlam, we assess based on the level of property that the damaging party, that the damager has. Why? Because Rashi says that if it were not the case then if it were not the case, then it wouldn't be such a deterrent. Because if you had somebody who has much better property, has much higher class assets than somebody else, so he figures, okay, whatever, if I damage the other guy, it's not going to be such a big deal because he doesn't have such great property anyway. I'm going to have to pay from the best property, but his best property is my worst property, so no biggie. So kamash v'lam, because of tikkun ha'olam, in order to deter people from causing damage to other Jews, we say not only are you going to have to pay from the best, that the Torah teaches us, but you're going to have to pay from your best. Meaning, even if you damage this guy's property and his property is worth a pittance, you're going to still have to pay from the best of your property. That is the tikkun ha'olam takana that is here in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, my Rabbi Yishmael, what is this din of Rabbi Yishmael? We're saying that the reason that we need this Mishnah to teach me that nizakin mishalmin, nizakin shamalem be'idis is to teach me not like the halacha, not like the din of Rabbi Yishmael. Where do we see this din of Rabbi Yishmael? That midaraisa, we would value the property based on the asset class of the damaged party, not the damaging party. Where do we see that? So my Rabbi Yishmael, so says the Gemara, Ditanya, because we learn as follows, Meitav Sadeyu, Meitav Karma Yishalim. It says, Meitav Sadeyu, Meitav Karma. That's what the Torah says, that you have to pay from the best property. Meitav Sadeyu shal nizik, or Meitav Karma shal nizik, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So here we have the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael, who says that when we assess the level of the property, it's the level of the property as assessed according to the damaged party. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, lo ba'akasav ela ligvos l'nizakim in edis. That no, what the point of the pasuk is that it teaches me that the nizakin collects from edis, meaning the edis shal mazik. That we don't assess based on the level of property that the damaged party has. We assess based on the level of property that the damaging party has. The kal v'chomer lehektish. And it's a kal v'chomer to, and it's a kal v'chomer to hektish. And so what does this mean that it's a kal v'chomer? What does this mean that it's a kal v'chomer to hektish? So the Gemara is going to explain exactly what it means that it's a kal v'chomer to hektish. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Yishmael, we pay from the edis of the nizik, right? The halacha of Rabbi Yishmael, which we're going to get to in the Gemara over here, which is why Rashi explains it right now, is that from Rabbi Yishmael it's mashma, not Rabbi Yishmael it's mashma, for the shita of Rabbi Yishmael is that when Reuven damages Shimon, he has to pay according to Shimon's best property. So that's the halacha. So he has to pay according to Shimon's best property. And Rashi says, what's mashma from the shita of Rabbi Shmuel is that no matter what property he damages that Shimon has, he's got to pay a value equal to Shimon's best property. So he could damage Shimon's worst property, but he has to pay according to the value of Shimon's best property. But according to Rabbi Kiva, says Rashi, it's mashma that when we say that the nizik pays from his best property, it's not that he's paying all of his best property. We calculate how much damage he caused, and he has to pay that amount from his best property. But from the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, where Rashi is medayek, is that the mazik is going to overpay that which he damaged, because he's damaging only the worst level of property, but he actually has to pay the best level of property. So the Gemara then asks, Ula Rabbi Shmuel, according to this understanding of what the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel is, Achal Shmeina Mishalem Shmeina. If you damage great property, you have to pay with great property. Achal Krusha Mishalem Shmeina. If you damage poor property, you're going to have to pay with great property. So because if the halacha is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that every time Reuven damages Shimon, he has to pay with Shimon's idis, it turns out even if he damages a piece of property that Shimon's ziburis, he's going to have to pay with Shimon's idis, and that doesn't really seem to make sense. Tosfos over here on the bottom has two different explanations as to why it doesn't make sense. Number one, it doesn't make sense because it's not fair. You should only have to pay for what you damage. So if you damage the guy's lower level property, you shouldn't have to pay with his best level property. And says Tosfos, the flip side is, if you want to tell me that we're always going to penalize the mazik for damaging the damaged party, we're always going to penalize Reuven for damaging Shimon's property. So then it turns out, if Reuven damages Shimon's edis, he should have to pay even more than edis. He should have to pay edis and a half, because we should impose a knas. So if it turns out that when he damages his bad property, he's got to compensate him with good property. If he damages his good property, we should figure out a way for him to overcompensate Shimon. So this concept makes no sense, says the Gemara. So Amar Ravidi Bar Oven, Hacha B'mayas Ginikon Sha'achla Aruga Bein Arugos. No, we don't know what level of property he damaged, because let's say his ox went into Shimon's field and started eating a row of produce, but we don't know which row he ate. V'lo Yadina Nikhu Sha'achal Ish Mein Achal. So we don't know whether he damaged his Edis or whether he damaged his Ziburis. So therefore, D'mishalem Le Mimetav. And therefore, you know, suffix, so we're going to make him pay from the better piece of property. Says the Gemara, really? Is that the way things work? Amar Rava, ilu yadinan de chusha achal, mashalim chusha. You want to tell me that, according to now our current understanding of Rabbi Yishmael, that if he damaged a bad piece of property, then he only has to compensate him with a bad piece of property, because we're not going to penalize him and make him pay a good piece of property if he damaged only a bad piece of property. So if we know for sure he ate a bad piece of property, he's going to pay with a bad piece of property. And now, achal, and now, ilu yadina dechusha achal, mishalim kusha, hashad lo yadina mishalim shmeina. Now that we don't know whether he ate a good piece of property or a bad piece of property, in other words, we don't know if he damaged a good piece of property or a bad piece of property, we're going to force him to compensate Shimon with a great piece of property. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. The halacha is that hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, that Shimon is being motzi mechavero because he's extracting payments from Reuven, and it's on him to prove that Reuven damaged a good piece of property if he wants to collect a good piece of property. He can't sit back and say, oh, it's a suffolk, I'm a suffolk, I don't know what he damaged, and therefore you owe me a good piece of property. That is not the way it works. Rashi over here says, interesting, that a love lovey edim levaris a safek on the bottom, that he has to bring edim to me mevara the safek v'daraisa he bababakama, and it's the din of amotzi mechavero alav haraya is a din daraisa, as it says in Maseches Babakama, mi bal dvarim yigash aleim yagish raya aleim, that he has to bring a raya on this. So the Rashash explains that from the Gemara Bava Kama, it's not mashma that it's a didaraisa, it's mashma that it's a svara, but it's not actually a drusha gemura from this pasuk. So Rashi seems to portray it as a drusha gemura, as a real didaraisa from this pasuk, whereas the Rashash argues and says that it is only a svara. If it's only a svara, why are we quoting psukim? So the Pnei Yeshua explains, because there are some times when we apply the din of hamotzi mechaver olav haraya, and it supersedes even a chazaka or a rov. So the din of rov and chazaka, those are real halachas. So if you're going to tell me that we're going to apply the din of hamotzi mechaver olav haraya, and even to supersede a rov or a chazaka, that's why we base this, we ground this halacha in a pasuk. The Netziv explains that even though true, the din of Amotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya is a din throughout Shas, we see that's the case. Over here, there's a reason, there's a basis for assuming that if Reuven's cow went into Shimon's field and ate something, we can assume that he ate the best produce. Why? Because it's a derech of an animal to search out the best produce. We assume that if the animal went into somebody else's field, the animal ate the best produce and not the worst produce. So because we can assume that the animal ate the better produce, and also paying somebody, compensating somebody for damage that you or your property causes is a mitzvah, we assume you want to fulfill the mitzvah in the best way possible, and therefore it's not so weird that we're making the guy pay for me this, because A, there's an assumption that his animal did damage the better property, and B, he would want to fulfill the mitzvah to its fullest extent anyway. Okay, says the Gemara, so where we are in the Gemara is that we're still within the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael, where within Rabbi Yishmael it appears that whenever Reuven damages Shimon, he's got to compensate Shimon with his Edis. And we said it doesn't make sense, because if he damages Shimon's Ziburis, why should he compensate him with Edis? And we said, oh, we don't know what he damaged. Well, if we don't know what he damaged, so why does he pay with Edis? It should be Amosi Mechaber Olav Arayi. He shouldn't have to pay with Edis. Says the Gemara, Elam Aravacha, Bar Yaakov, turning to Mem Tesem and Aleph, Hachav Mayaskin, Gogochaisa Edis de Nizek, that the Edis of the Nizek, Kiziburis de Mazik, is like the Ziburis of the Mazik. So Rabbi Yishmael Savar, Bid Nizek Shaminan. Rabbi Yishmael says that we evaluate based on the Nizek. So when we say that Reuven has to pay Shimon with the Edis, it means Shimon's Edis. So if Shimon's Edis is only as valuable as Reuven's Ziburis, it turns out that it's a kula, because instead of paying with his own Edis, he's only got to pay with the other guy's Edis. Rav Akiva Savar b'Demazik Shaminan, and Rav Akiva says that we evaluate based on the mazik, and in this case, it turns out to be a chumrah, because he has to pay, Reuven has to pay, with his own edis, even though his own ziburis is worth as much as Shimon's edis, but still, the halacha is that b'demazik shemina, and therefore he has to pay from his own edis. So my time at Rabbi Shmuel, well, what's the pshat here in the machlokas? So what's the reason for Rabbi Shmuel shita? So he says like this, nemar sada lamata, it says sada lamata, v'nemar sada lamala, and it says sada lamala. In other words, the sada lamala is the hypothetical, the fact pattern that the Torah is talking about, where Reuven or Reuven's animal goes into Shimon's field and damages his field. So who's the his? I'm using a lot of pronouns, but who's the his? Reuven's animal goes into Shimon's field and damages his field. Obviously, that's Shimon's field. That's the Nizik's field. And then later on, it talks about Metav Sadeo, Metav Karmo, that he's got to pay with the best of his field. Who's the his? Who's the pronoun? So it's mashma, mistaber, that the pronoun should be going on the same guy, should be going on the same person, right? So it says the Gemara, masa damur lamala denizik, afsa damur lamata denizik. Just like obviously the mazik or the mazik's property is going into the nizik's field, so when the Torah says it pays, he has to pay from metav sadeyu or metav karmo, it means metav sadeyu shel nizik or metav karmo shel nizik. Rav Akiva Savar, and Rav Akiva says no. Meitav Sadeu Yishalem Dehech Tekam Mishalem. In other words, the Meitav Sadeu is not going on the best of the person who has damaged his property. It's going on Meitav Sadeu, the one who's paying has to pay from his best property. And therefore, it is a chumrah that he has to pay from his own idis. The mazik has to pay from his own idis, even if the nizik's idis is only worth as much as the mazik's ziburis. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, Rabbi Shmuel, Ahani Gzeir Shava, Vahani Kra. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Gzeir Shava and the Pasuk work. Ahani Gzeir Shava, Lichada Amran. The Gzeir Shava works because what we were saying is, just like the Sadeh, which is mentioned in the beginning of the Parsha, where it talks about Reuven's animal going into Shimon's field, that's talking about Shimon's field, so too the Sadeh, that's Lamata, when it says Meitav Sadeyu, is also talking about Shimon's field. And the Pasuk works as well. Why? The Islay Lamazik Idis Viziburis, because if the Mazik has Idis and Ziburis, Viziburis dide lo shave ki idis denizik. Now they don't line up exactly. So the mazik has two classes of property. He has class A property, class B property. So the mazik's class B property is worth not quite as much as the nizik's idis property. It's worth a little bit less. So the question is, what does the mazik pay with now? Does he pay with his worst property? His worst property is not worth as much as the nizik's idis. Or does he have to pay with his better property, which is worth more than the nizik's edis? So the mishalim lay mi metav. Then in that situation, he's going to have to pay mi metav. He's going to have to pay from his better property. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel will learn, that ordinarily speaking, the base case is that he pays according to the value of the nizik's property. The question is, what happens if he doesn't have any properties that correspond to the exact value of the nizik's property, and his properties are either worth less or worth more? We always round up. That's what we learned from the pasuk, that we're always going to round up. And Rav Akiva Omer, Rav Akiva says, no, loba akosav el ligvos l'nizokim, and edis, that the pasuk teaches me that by nizokim we collect from the edis, meaning with the edis shall mazik, and it's a kal v'chomer to hektish. So says the Gemara, my kal v'chomer lehektish. What does it mean that it's a kal v'chomer to hektish? Because if we're drawing a kal v'chomer from nizikin to hektish, it's mashma that the din of nizikin is shayich somehow to hektish. But says the Gemara, what are we talking about? How is Nezik and Shaykh to Hektish? Ilema denachay turu didan l'turu de Hektish. If a regular person shor damages a shor that belongs to Hektish, shareyu amrachman avlo shor shal Hektish. He's not chayiv in Nezikin at all, because the only time you're chayiv in Nezikin is v'higach ish shor, a shor reyu. That if the shor ish is gores, a shor reyu, but not shor shal Hektish. Lili Omer, rather, what it means to say is Arealai Mane Lebeda Kabayis, that if he says that I owe a money to the Beda Kabayis, to Asi Gizbar Vishakal Mi Idis, then the Gizbar can come and collect from his best property. So let's say he pledges $100 to Tzedakah, to Hektish, and he flakes on his pledge, then the Gizbar could come and he collect from his best property. And that's what it means, that Kal V'chomer to Hektish. That if by Nezikin, the Nizah collects from the best property, certainly Hektish, meaning the Gizbar, is going to collect from the best property if somebody pledges money to Hektish and doesn't pay the pledge. Says the Gemara, Lo Ye'el Abalchov, Abalchov Dina Bebeninis. Why are we giving the Gizbar superpowers here, though? The Gizbar, in other words, Legabe, this guy, Hektish, is a Balchov. Hektish is owed money by this guy. And the Mishnah told us that a Balchov gives with Beninis. A Balchov gets paid with Beninis, not with Idis. So says the Gemara, V'chi Temek Sava Rabbi Kiva Balchov Shakol Be'idis. And if you want to say that according to Rabbi Kiva, a Balchov does get paid with Idis. If you're asking me how come Hektish gets paid with Idis, a Balchov gets paid with Beninis. Maybe Rabbi Kiva says that a Balchov Taka does get paid with Idis. Just like a Nizik gets paid with Idis, says the Gemara, because Ikal Mifrach, because then we could ask that why would we assume that why would we assume that by a Nizik the halacha is the same as a regular that by Hektish rather the halacha is the same as a regular Balchov. In other words, even if you want to tell me that a Balchov gets paid with Idis, maybe if the Balchov is Hektish, he wouldn't get paid with Idis. Why wouldn't he get paid with Idis? Because we see that the rights of Hektish are not as strong as the rights of a regular person by Nezikin, right? Because if Reuven Shar gores Shimon Shar, then Reuven has to pay Shimon money. If Reuven Shar gores a Shar of Hektish, Reuven doesn't have to pay Hektish money. So it turns out that Hektish doesn't always have the same powers of collection as a regular person. That's what the Gemara says now. Malabal Chov Shekein Yafa Kocho Ben Ezekin, Tamar Hektish Shekein Ura Kocho Ben Ezekin. So how do I know that just because a regular Balchov gets paid with Edis, if the Balchov is Hektish, that Balchov will get paid with Edis? Maybe they would only get paid with Beninis. Says the Gemara, no, you're right. When we make a Kavach Omer to Hektish, we're not talking about a situation where Reuven Shar gores a Shar of Hektish. That's not what we're talking about. Liolam Denatchi Tura Didon, the Tura de Hektish. Really, we're talking about where our Shar gores the Shar of Hektish. Rav Akiva Sarva like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, and maybe Rav Akiva holds like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. The Tani Rav Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Shar Shal Hektish and Akal Shar Shal Hedyot, Pater. If a Shar Shal Hektish gores a Shar Shal Hedyot, he's going to be Pater. And if our shor gores a shor of Hektish, if a regular person shor gores a shor of Hektish, bein tam, bein muad, mishalim nezek shalem. But whether it's a shor tam or a shor muad, he has to pay nezek shalem. In other words, unlike previously where we had been saying that shor shal reyehu velo shor shal Hektish is a kula, we were learning it out that if our shor damages a shor shal Hektish, he doesn't have to pay anything because the pasuk says v'chigach shor ish al shor re'eyu, that he only has to pay if his ox gores the shor of his friend. And we were trying to learn out that if his ox gores the shor of Hektish, he gets paid nothing. Hektish gets nothing. Or we were saying you got it exactly wrong, that if our shor gores a shor of Hektish, all of the halachos that the Torah is talking about that we distinguish between a shor tam and a shor muad, whether it's chasi nezek or whether it's nezek shalim, all of those halachas don't apply. Meaning, you get one strike if it's Hektish. Usually you get three strikes. And because it's not until the third time that it becomes a shor muad. But by Hektish, regardless of whether your shor is a shor tam or whether it's a shor muad, he's going to have to pay nezek shalem. And that is a chumrah, because by Hektish, you're always paying nezek shalem. Unlike by shor re'eyu, you're paying only chasi nezek until your shor is a shor muad. So says the Gemara, but Iachi, if that's the case, mimai to be idis the nizik, kidiziburis de mazik pligi. How do we know that they're arguing in a situation where the idis of the nizik is worth the same amount, corresponds to the ziburis of the mazik? Dilma de kuli alma but the nizik shaminan. Maybe everybody agrees that we evaluate based on the property of the nizik. And maybe over here we're arguing in the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and the Chachamim. The Rabbi Akiva savar la Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, the Rabbi Yishmael savar la Rabbanan, and the Rabbi Yishmael holds like the Rabbanan, that there is no chiyuv of Nezikin for Hektish if a Shor Shel Hedyot gores a Shor Shel Hektish. In other words, we were saying that this machlokas is whether Bidinizik or Bidamazik, and what happens if the value of the if the property of the Mazik is sort of worth in between, that his bad property is worth a little bit less than the Idis of the Nizik, but his good property is worth more than the property of the Nizik. Well, why do we say that we're even arguing about it? Let's say the argument at base halacha. Your shar gores a shar of Hektish. Are you chayiv? Yes or no? Maybe that's what they're arguing about. Forget about whose property you're valuing. Maybe they're just arguing about whether you're chayiv when your shar gores a shar shal Hektish or not. Says the Gemara, Imkain, my lo ba akasav. But what does it mean that lo ba akasav? Because it says, lo ba akasav, the Kamar, and Rashi says, the Kamar demashma lo ba lakach, ela lakach. In other words, it's mashma that they're arguing about something much more fundamental, whether about the type of karka that you pay with. Whether the type of karka that you pay with is idis, or whether the type of karka that you pay with is ziboris. So in other words, like the Gemara is saying is, in a chanami, you could have established that the machlokas is simply about do you pay or not, yes or no. It could be an up or down type of machlokas. But the lobo akosov, if that's what they were arguing about, then they wouldn't be darshaning in the posuk, metav sadeyu, metav karmo, who's metav, this metav, that guy's metav. It's mashma that the machlokas is more involved, says the Gemara. The ode, and also, my kalvachomer lehektish, what do you mean, kalvachomer lehektish? Because by hektish, I would think that it's a chumrah and not a kula. So the ode, homer ravashi, and also says ravashi, Tanya Be'edya, that we learn explicitly that Rabbi Akiva says that we assess based on the property of the mazik. In other words, you can't say, which is what we were trying to do in the bottom over here in the Gemara, we can't say the kuliyama b'denizik shayminan, and they're only arguing about whether when you damage property of hektish, whether you have to pay or not. And how do I know that they can't all agree about the denizik shayminan? Because we see explicitly Rabbi Akiva says b'demazik shayminan, that we evaluate based on the value of the mazik's property. And if Rabbi Akiva says that we evaluate based on the mazik's property, we know that Rabbi Shmuel holds that you evaluate based on the value of the nizik's property. So we see, obviously, there's a fundamental machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whose property do we use when we evaluate the payment that a person is going to have to make. So says the Gemara, Tanya Be'edya, because we see explicitly in a brisa, Meitav Sadeu, Meitav Karma Yishalem. Meitav Sadeu Shal Nizik, Meitav Karma Shal Nizik, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that already we know is Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, Meitav Sadeu Shal Mazik, Meitav Karma Shal Mazik. So it's black and white that's what the Machlokas is about. Whose property do you value when we assess the payment that the damager is going to have to make to the damaged party? Is it the property of the damaged party, which is Rabbi Shmuel Shita? Is it the property of the damager, of the damaging party, that is the Shita of Rabbi Akiva? Ravina Omar, Leon Lamas Nisan Rabbi Akiva. Really, our Mishnah is going according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. To Omar, Bidaraisa Bidamazik Shaiminan. That really, midaraisa, we do assess based on the value of the mazik's property, based on the mazik's property. If that's a din doraisa, so why are you teaching me metav sadeu, metav karmo, you're tikkun olam, you seem to be darshaning like psukim over here, but if it's a flat din doraisa, what's with all your fancy drushas? Says the Gemara of Rav Shimon, he did darish time at the Kra. And this is Rav Shimon, who is Doresh, the Tam of the Psukim. So in other words, Rav Shimon, if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Masitim Dektani Bemidi Doraisa Vem Netikin Olam. If this is a Din Doraisa, why in the Mishnah do we make it seem as if it's a Tikin Olam? So says Rashi, Rabbi Shimon Shaya Talmud Rav Akiva Amra. This is Rabbi Shimon, who was a Talmud of Rav Akiva, who's Darish Taimed Dekra. And Darish, Rashi says, Nami Ba'alma Taimed Dekra, Babab Metzia, Gabi Lo Sachbo, Begat Almana, Dekamar Ashira Mamashkinosa. That he is the one who darshans the reason for the Taimed Dekra. So in other words, it's a Dindar Raisa. It's a Dindar Raisa that you pay with the property of the Mazik. Why does it make sense? It makes sense from a Tikkun Olam perspective. If it's a Din D'oraisa, why are you hocking around whether it makes sense from a Tikkun Olam perspective? Because this is Rav Shimon, who always is Doresh time of the Kra. He's going to try to learn out the time of the Kra. This concept of Sachbal Beged Almana that Rashi is talking about, as the Torah tells us, that if an Almana borrows money from you, you're not supposed to collect collateral. Why? Because there's a din that if you collect collateral, let's say you collect her cloak and she uses the cloak at night, you're going to have to return the cloak to her every night. But it's not very appropriate that you should be seen going over to the house of Almana every night to return her cloak. And therefore it says, Lo sachbol beged Almana. Hi, what happens if she's a rich Almana? I don't know why she borrowed money then from you, but let's say she wasn't liquid, right? She was tied up in real estate. So all of her Ida's properties were appreciating in value. So she was a rich Almana, so she doesn't need her cloak back at night to sleep in because she has 100 cloaks. So in that case, can you take a collateral? So it depends. Are we Dorish time of the Kra or not? If we're Darshina time of the Kra and say, oh, the reason that you're not allowed to take collateral is lest you have to go return it and that's not appropriate, well, if you don't have to go return it, then you could go take collateral. And they bring down a similar concept where it says, I think Tosfa says over here on the top Tosfa, let's just read it inside. Rabbi Shimon, the Dorish time of the Kra, lo pligi eleicha dika nafkusa, kagon gabe chovel beged almana, vegabe liyarbe lo noshim, vachanami mishamai time eshaminim bedemazik. In other words, this machlokas of Darshin and time in the Kra, let's level set what it means. First of all, it doesn't mean that there's a man d'amar who says that we're not supposed to try to figure out why the Torah says what it says. Everybody agrees that you're supposed to figure out what does the Torah mean, and what does the Torah mean when it says it, and why does the Torah say it. Everybody agrees that that is an appropriate type of limud. The question is, can I learn halacha from what I think the reason of the pasuk is? In other words, am I going to use Darshin and time of the Kra to teach me, oh, the Torah says that I'm not allowed to take collateral from an almana, but I know that's only because I might have to go return it, and therefore when I don't have to go return it, I'm allowed to take collateral. The Torah says, lo yarbe lo noshim, that a melech is not allowed to be marbe too many noshim. Can I say, the reason that the Torah says that the melech is not allowed to be marbe noshim is because it says lo yasser levavo, or pen yasser levavo, that maybe he's going to be led astray. So let's say I know that this melech would never be led astray. Maybe he can marry too many wives. That's the machlokas between Reb Shimon and his bar plukta as to whether we're darshina and taima dekra. But everybody agrees that, it says Tosfos, that there is a concept in limud of trying to figure out why the Torah tells us what it tells us. The machlokas is whether you can make a nafkamina lahalacha based on that type of drasha. But anyway, back in the Gemara, if midaraisa you do value based on the mazik's property, why does the Mishnah portray this as a tikkun olam inyan? Why does the Mishnah portray this as something having to do with tikkun olam? Says the Gemara, umatam kamar. Matam hanizakin shamalem beidis. Why is it that by nizakin we evaluate based on the best level of property? Memnei tikkun olam. It's because of tikkun olam. The Tanya Amar Rav Shimon, because we learned that Rav Shimon says, memnei ma amru. Why do they say? Now, they say appears to be that it's a din de rabbanan, right? Why did they say? And therefore, the riff and the rush are goretz b'bnei ma'omra Torah. Why did the Torah say? That makes a big nafkamina, right? Whether it seems to be a din de rice or a din de rabbanan. Right now, of course, we're within the shita that is postulating that it's a din de rice, but we're explaining the basis for the din de rice. If it's a din de rice, the proper girsa appears to be b'bnei ma'omra Torah. So let's read it like that. Because of all the thieves and because of all the gazlanim, all the thieves and the bandits. Why am I going to steal? Why am I going to go marauding around? Tomorrow, Basin is going to come into my field, and they're going to take my best field, and they're going to collect from my best field, relying on that which the Torah says, that you collect from Meitav Shadeyo, Meitav Karmo. Therefore, we say Nizak and Shamalem Be'idis. So you see an interesting thing over here, that a Gazlan and a Chamsin is called a Mazik, so that's an interesting thing that the Mefarshim point out. But what comes out is that Din Daraisa, you collect, and then the Nizak will collect from Edis. Why? The reason for it, the reason for the Din Daraisa, is so that it serves as a deterrent. Because if you make the guy collect, if you allow the Nizak to collect from the best property, then it's going to be a deterrent. The Mazik is not going to want to damage. Now the Gemara continues with all of this time of the Kra. Why do they say that a Balchov collects from Beinonis, from mid-level property. And again, over here, the Rif and the Rush say Mimnei Ma Omra Torah, not Mimnei Ma Omru, because Mimnei Ma Omru makes it appear that it's a Din D'Rabbanan. Mimnei Ma Omra Torah obviously makes it appear that it's a Din D'Raisa, that the Balchov gets paid with the Beinonis. Kadesh Lo Yira Adam L'Chaveiro Sadanoa V'Dira Noa V'Yomar Ekfots V'Alvenu Kadesh Ekvenu B'Chovi. Because if a Balchov got to collect from Edis, then we're afraid that if Reuven sees Shimon and he sees that Shimon has a very nice piece of property, so Reuven's going to be devious. Reuven's going to say, I'm going to lend Shimon money. Shimon's going to default on the loan. And then when Shimon defaults on the loan, I'm going to collect from his best property. And he's going to try to steal Shimon's best property that way. Therefore, they said, no, don't do this ruse and start lending people money because you think you're going to collect from their best property. You're not going to collect from their best property. You're going to collect from their mid-level property. Elamata yehe ziburus. If that's the case, if we're trying to make sure that the guy doesn't deviously try to lend somebody else money specifically for the purpose of being able to collect from his better properties, why don't we say that he collects from the worst property? Why do we say that he even gets to collect from the middle-level property? Same gain, atanol delos v'mnei lovin, because if you're going to make him collect from the worst property, then nobody's going to want to loan money at all. So in other words, we want to deter him to make sure that he doesn't loan money with ulterior motives to try to collect from the borrower's best property. However, if we said that he could only collect from the buyer or his worst property, then we're afraid that nobody's going to want to loan money altogether. Therefore, we say that he gets to collect from Beinonis. Now, the last halacha that we had over here was Ksuvas Isha b'Ziburis. That Ksuvas Isha is with Ziburis, that the woman collects her Ksuba from the worst level of property. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Meir Omer b'Beinonis. And Rav Meir says that she collects with Beinonis, from the middle level of property. Amar Rav Shimon, Mibnei Ama Amru Ksuvas Isha b'Ziburis. Why do we say that the woman collects from Ziburis? Say she yoser meima she ish rotze lisa a isha rotze lino se. Because more than the man wants to get married, the woman wants to get married. So that's why we're going to say that the woman collects from Ziburis. In other words, we don't have to provide her an incentive to get married by saying, oh, if the marriage dissolves, you're going to get to collect from better properties. We could say, you're going to get to collect from only the worst properties. She's still going to want to get married because inherently, a woman definitely wants to get married. Now, according to the Man D'Amar, who says, like, Ksuvas the Rabbanan, so I understand we're just trying to fit in what level of property the Rabbanan said that she could collect from. But according to the Man D'Amar, who says, like, Ksuvas the Raisa, it is mashma that Me'ikra Din, a woman would have to collect from Edis, but there's a chash that if that's the case, that women would get married to husbands, women would get married to guys who have good property, that they would say, oh, this guy has a great piece of property, I'm going to get married to him, maybe the marriage will dissolve, and then I'll be able to collect from the best property. Therefore, the Chachamim were gozer that she gets to collect only from Ziburis. Says the Gemara, why did another reason that the woman gets to collect from Ziburis? Davar acher isha yotzer l'rtzono, because isha rotzer l'rtzono v'shelo l'rtzona. A woman is divorced whether she wants to or not, whether she wants to be divorced or not. This is very important to note. This is Dina de Gemara. Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, of course, says that a man is not allowed to divorce a woman bal karcha, but Medina de Gemara, a woman is allowed to be forcibly divorced. V'ish eina matzia l'rtzono. But a man only can divorce a woman if he wants to, and therefore, says the Gemara, it's mistaber. It's mistaber that the woman only gets to collect from the worst property because she generally has the lower hand when it comes to divorce anyway. My davar acher, what does it mean, davar acher? So v'chite mekiyeche demafik la ihu takinu l'rabbanan ksuva minei. I might think that when he terminates the marriage, the Rabbanan were metakin iksuba. Kinafka ihi nami litzkinile, and when she causes the marriage to dissolve, we should also litzkinei Rabbanan iksuba mine mina, we should also require her to pay iksuba. So says the Gemara, Tashma, Isha Yotzer Lertzona, Vishalol Lertzona, Vaisha Inamotzi El Lertzono, Efshar demafrile begita. Meaning, what does it mean? So what it means is that he can, again, we're not talking about things that should ever be done, but the Gemara says that it could be that that he is going to withhold, that he's going to withhold a get, meaning essentially that there's no way that the woman can force the man to divorce her, even if she's a maredes, because the man always controls when the women will get divorced. Again, this is all din of the Gemara. We're not talking about what's appropriate or what would or would not violate a cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon. Says the cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon. Says the Gemara Navaiter. Tu das. Ksuvas isha viziboris. So Amar Mazutra b'rei de Rav Nachman. Lo Amran elamayasme. The fact that when we said the ksuvas isha is collected only from ziboris, that's only if you come to collect the ksuva from yesomim. Let's say we're talking about a situation where the husband dies and that's why the woman is collecting a ksuva. Aval minei didei bebeninis. So, but if she comes to collect suba from her husband himself, then she gets to collect from the beninus, from the mid-level. So, miyasmi maya riksuba sisha afilu kol mili nami. But if she's collecting from the yesomim, so why do we say that ksuba isha is collected from ziboris? Everything that you collect from yesomim is collected from ziboris. Tehatnan ainif from minixi yesomim elamina ziboris. It said in our Mishnah that if you collect from yesomim, you only collect from ziboris. So Elamai, doesn't it mean that she's collecting the ksuva from him, and the chiddush is that she only gets to collect from ziburis? Says the Gemara, no, the olam yasmi. No, really, she's collecting from the yesomim. The ksuvas isha ish tochrele. And even though, ordinarily speaking, you're right, all collections from yesomim are from ziburis, we need a special halacha to teach me that the ksuvas isha, which is collected from yesomim, is also going to be from ziburis. Not. I might think because of chain. The Rabbanon were makil. What does it mean, chain? So Rashi says, Sheyehu anoshim nosen chain be'ini anoshim v'yisten olam. It's that the men find favor in the women's eyes, and the women would want to marry them. Because if the woman knows that when she is divorced, or if the husband dies, she's only going to collect ziburis, she's not going to want to get married. And therefore, in order to make sure that she wants to get married, I might think that she gets to collect from Beninus, even from Yesomim, Kamash Malon, not. Tosfos doesn't like that, because Tosfos says, I thought you just told me that Yoser Mimasha Ish Rotsa Lisha Yitzra Rotsa Linase. Now you're telling me that you need to provide an incentive for the woman to get married, and therefore Tosva says at the end of Tosva's Dibra Maskel Mishum, Venira Kapirish Rabbeinu Chananel, the Pirish Mishum Chino, Shiuka Kol Kopzim Al Yinasa, that every Lisa, that everybody should try to marry, everybody should want to remarry her. In other words, after her husband dies and she's now a widow, we want to make sure that somebody will want to marry her as a second marriage. And therefore I have a havamina that she gets to collect more, not so that she should be induced to get married, so that other people should be induced to marry her if they see that she has better property. Amar Rabba, says the Gemara Vayter, Toshma, Rav Meir Omer, Ksuvas Isha Bebeninis. Ksuvas Isha is collected with Beninis, the mid-level property. Miman, Ile Mameyasmi, who are you collecting from? If it's from the Yisomim, Lesa the Rav Meir, does he not hold for Rav Meir? Datanan, Ina from Menichle Yisomim Elamini Ziburis, you only get to collect from Yisomim Ziburis. Elalav minoi. Does Elamai, it is Elamai, we're collecting from him. Mechlal drabanan savri viziburis. That from Mechlal, that the Rabbanan say that you collect from ziburis, even if you're collecting from him, because it's only Rav Meir who says that you get to collect the ksuvas isha from the beninis. Says the Gemara, lo liolam miyasmi. Really, you're collecting from the yesomim. Veshani ksuvas isha mishamchina. And in other words, Rav Meir says that you're collecting from the yesomim, but nevertheless, you are going to collect from beninis. Because a woman, the ksuvas isha is different, because of chain, we are going to allow her to collect from the nechasim, the beninus of the yesomim, even though ordinarily speaking, from yesomim, you generally only collect from ziburis. All right, we'll stop here. We'll pick up Amar Abaya, 5 lines up from the wide lines. God willing, tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.